Okay, is this on, Jason? Oh, it's on. We're good. Okay, last time I was up here, I didn't actually have the mic on. So he'll be pulling up here this game code. And at the beginning, if you could go to kahoot.it. So if you have your device, this is one of the few times in every, I see, yeah, Grayson, he showed me his phone, that we actually say, turn on your device, but keep it in silent mode, as we are usually reminded. So if you have a moment here. So tonight, we're going to be going over some methods of outreach. And I've been at World Bible School now for a year. And Alan Jones, Alan, you want to raise your hand? Well, everybody's getting signed in here. There he is. Alan Jones back there. He's our World Bible School coordinator for River Chase. And so he'll be back there in the back afterwards. We have a table there to the left of the main doors. We've got some information, some ways that you can sign up. But just the ways that you can also get involved. So we've got 26 so far coming in. And again, with this right here, you're putting your names in. But as the questions come up, I want you to be as honest as possible. Well, just be honest. Because your name, we're not going to show any names of what the results are. Not going to be displayed on screen. So I really want everybody to take a good, honest answer for the questions that we're going to go through here. So not a Bible quiz knowledge like I did before, but a survey of the congregation. So we've got 60, well, now we're back, bouncing back and forth. And I was going to say, yep, keep the names, you know, tasteful. Jason's ready to knock you out if you get a little funny over there or up there. Or I don't know, maybe back there too. Bill Baker. let's see here. We've got 72. Great. Pop. All right. Three sons. Okay. We're still going up here, so we're going to keep this going. Almost to 80. Raise your hand if you're trying to get in and you can't. Or if you're still trying to get in. Okay. You're still trying to get in. Just go to your browser, kahoot.it. And the other thing I'll make a note of is I don't have my phone up here with me, so Gabriel could do this as well. So if I start talking too long, you know, somebody just, you know, raise your hand up or give me the cutoff sign. So 84, 85, 86. Pam, are you able to get in? No. She's trying. Anybody else? I saw Pam was still trying. You can't. Well, if you're on the RCOC guest, flip up, turn your Wi-Fi off and get on the network. Or get on your wireless provider's network, because nothing works on our RCOC guest. If we can get that to 100, that'd be great. Okay. Brother Don, you are able to get in? Not yet. All right, well, if y'all don't mind, we will give you... Is it just not loading up? Timed out? Okay. Miss Pam? No. All right, well, we'll go ahead and move on. Sorry. for those who weren't able to join, but we've got a few more coming in. So in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I've got some more coming in. Go. All right, let's start. So 6 questions. Are you ready? And a poll for the River Chase Church of Christ congregation. So how many times have you attended Bible class in the past 3 months? So you just take the coordinating color and shape and answer that. Okay. Everybody's flying in here. These first two, they're 10-second limits, but the last four will be 20-second limits. Okay, so more than 2 times. All right. 0. Okay, Bible class. All right, yep, Bible class, good. Now let's go to the next one, 89, more than 2 times. How many times have you attended worship in the past 3 months? Now, I better not see a 0 here because for obvious reasons. I think we've got everybody here. Seriously, 0? Oh, do you realize you're at worship right now? Who was that? Who answered 0? Okay. All right, let's go to next. They'll call in survey, we call those outliers that we take out of our results. How many times have you invited someone to worship, Bible class, or activity in the past 3 months? So an activity here at the church building, teen event, church event, children's event, anything that's coming up. How many times have you invited somebody in the past 3 months? Good, everybody's answering very quickly. All right. So a bit more spread out on this one here. So more than two times. So this is very even spread on inviting somebody to attend something that's going on. Let's go to the next question that's going to get a little bit more, we're going to get a little deeper here. How many times have you talked to someone about Jesus outside the church in the past 3 months? This does not count talking to your friends, talking at Devo, talking in Bible class. This is outside of the church, those that you have actually talked to Jesus, talked to them about Jesus. And everybody's almost in. Time is up. Okay, so more than two times, 48. So again, a very even spread across the board here. Now let's go ahead and go to the next one. We're going to get a little bit deeper. How often have you asked someone outside the church for personal Bible study in the past 3 months? No, that was not a typo. My characters were limited, so I had to take out one of the words. How many of you asked somebody for a personal Bible study? Again, this isn't Bible class. This is just a personal one-on-one Bible study. Okay, 0, 105. So now the things have started to shift in the other direction from our normal behavior of attendance and activities, and we've seen the shift going away. Let's go to the next one. Now, this is the last one. How often have you been in a personal Bible study with someone outside the church in the past 3 months? So you've not just invited them, but you've actually participated in or been a leader. We've got a lot of answers flying in here. Everybody, somebody's still thinking about it, or they got kicked out, one or the other. All right, so more than two times, zero. Then we have two twice, 11 once, and 103 is done zero. So let's go ahead and go next. And Jason, if you want to be going over to the slides. So thanks for taking part. So like I said, I wasn't going to show anybody's names on that, but I really appreciate your honesty. Because it really gets us thinking about how we are sharing Jesus. And we talk about the Great Commission. We know that scripture in Matthew 28. And we talk about it over and over again. But the question is, are we actually carrying out the Great Commission? So tonight, we're going to go over that scripture. We're going to go over a couple things. But tonight is going to be sharing you practical tools from World Bible School that can help you share Jesus. And help us so that way, maybe when we come back to speaking this again, maybe in a year from now, those things can shift. Because there's ways we can do it online. You can do it through lessons we're going to cover here. So some questions that come up, is it the big green button? Yes. So some questions to consider for River Chase Church of Christ. What have I observed that contribute to a 158 member decline in 8 years? So those of you who might not have been here last week when Brother Frank was giving some of the statistics, we saw that trend going down of attendance. So that's just for some things that for you to be thinking about. What have I seen? We know people pass away. We know people move away. But what else have you seen? And another question to be thinking about is, in this time, how many have we seen not members of the River Chase Church of Christ that have been baptized into Christ? So we see our children, we see our teens up here being baptized. And I've seen them in the bulletin occasionally here and there, some baptisms were people who have come in from outside the church. But just think about that. But the most important question that we can ask is not to think of this in a negative light, although it's good to learn and it's good to see what's happening. But the question is, how can I help turn the trend in a positive and constructive way? And the reason I ask that question and we think about it is because it's easy to sit back and say, well, because so-and-so is not doing a good job over here, or so-and-so, we don't do this over here, or they don't do that over there. It's easy to start placing the blame on other people. And the other thing to think about, too, is we have wonderful men who are ministers, our elders, but our community is so large and there's so many ways we can impact people. They can't be the ones that shoulder the burden on reaching people with the gospel and bringing new converts into the church. They can't. There's only four ministers. There's only eight elders. And so there's only so much they can do in terms of shepherding and ministry. And so that's where it comes to us. So let's look at some of the scripture. To grow, we must go. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So that's the important thing to think, is to grow, we must go. So what did Jesus mean by go? It is taking action. So there are several verbs here we're going to go over. Moving forward, working hard, I would say the apostles, as we read in Acts, they worked hard. They gave their life for the gospel. Sowing seed. We read about that parable, but literally we have to think about sowing seed and casting the seed, the word of God, to as many people as possible. And we need that to happen because some of them are not going to listen. Some of them are not going to respond. So we have to be sowing the seed as much as we can. And then, of course, the verb of making disciples, baptizing, teaching, and obeying. So everything about what Jesus has told us to do is a verb. It's an action. It's moving forward, not sitting, not participating, but moving forward. And the only time I pulled this scripture up because I thought, well, there's only one time Jesus actually said, wait a minute, just hold on, is when he talked to his disciples before he went. And he said, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So that's the good news, proclaiming that there is repentance, that there's forgiveness in the name of Jesus. You are my witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power on high. That's the only time Jesus ever said, hold on, wait a minute, just be patient, and I'm going to clothe you with power and send you on your way. And that's what they did. No other time do we have permission to just sit and be still. So find your method. So as we think about, we think about those survey results that we were looking at, that many of us have not either talked about Jesus, have not tried to have a Bible study with somebody, because it can be intimidating. I'm not going to lie. It can be very intimidating to talk to somebody because you don't know what kind of reaction you're going to get. So the important thing is to find a method that works for you. And so best effort. So if you have a business or if you're studying for a test in school, there are certain methods and processes that are going to work for you. And so remember Peter and Paul's methods. As we think through and we read in the book of Acts, Peter, in the first part of Acts, he's going to the temple courts and he's teaching the people who are coming there. They're healing people, which is creating a great scene and they're getting a lot of attention. Or when they would go to various cities, they would go to the synagogue and reason based on the law. And of course, one of my favorite instances is when Paul is in Greece, he's in Athens, and he starts reasoning with them not from the law, but from their own prophets. So finding the method of where they go and who they're speaking to. So it's to think about what is going to be your method for going into the world. There's short and long-term missions. A lot of our teens participate in the short term. We support a lot of long-term missions around the world. There's personal Bible study guides. So finding some sort of a personal study guide that will help you help somebody else walk through the scriptures in a logical way that will help present the gospel to them, help them can read the scriptures that will convict them of their sin. Fishers of Men is another one that I've seen. That's another method. Jewel Miller Films was one that was popular way back before I was born, and there is actually somebody who's redoing those to be a bit more modern. And of course, down to World Bible School is a tool, is a method that you can use to share the gospel around the world and in your neighborhood. And so that's what we're going to go through here kind of very quickly, and there's a lot of information, and I've taken a lot out to make sure I get through some things, but it's just making you aware of the tools that are available to you. And especially to our younger generations, our older teens, our college students, there's a lot of ways that you can be easily involved in teaching online, and we have new things coming up. So we'll see some different icons, and one is our study Bible, and I have some of those sitting on the table out there. So afterwards, you can actually, those are actually free to take for whoever thinks they could use it the most or somebody they might want to give it to. So we'll have a mad dash to those Bibles. Printed lessons that you'll see also some samples out there. Online lessons, which are essentially the printed books that are just translated in an online format. Connect program is the way that we target and we reach people locally and abroad. Spoken is an iPhone app we'll cover here in a minute about English and Bible coaching. And Methodus is a social media discipling tool. So we're going to go through these very quickly. And so the first one is printed lessons. That's traditionally what people have thought about World Bible School has been the printed lessons. And sadly, as time has gone on, we've not been able to really break that mold, that we're not just postal lessons and doing it across the world. And sometimes the image that people have when you say World Bible School is, it's, you know, oh yeah, grandma met with her group and they would write their letters and they'd put them in their envelopes and they'd send them off. And that's all anybody knew about it. But it is such an important aspect of the ministry, because there's so many people in the world, even in the United States, that don't have access to the internet or don't have reliable access, or it's too expensive to access the internet, that postal lessons are still a great way. And so for some time, and more information will come out, but Alan, you know, will occasionally get names and we'll have them out in that WBS booth that you can just send them to individually. You can also go online, and we'll look at that in a minute, to adopt students for online or postal, because we have a lot of people who can get online for a few minutes, register, and then they'll just, send me something in the mail, and they'll start corresponding that way. So it's a way to correspond with people who don't have the internet. But over time, we've had challenges, especially getting to Africa. Even in the U.S., we sometimes have problems with lessons. But particularly going to Africa, mail gets lost, mail gets, gets taken by the government or taken by somebody who's looking for the next bribe. And so what we have are service centers set up in various countries. We actually have 16 set up: Nigeria, Malawi, Ghana. We have 16 countries that have service centers. So what happens there is that they complete that first lesson, which is right here, The Way to Life. And ironically, when you go out there to the table, you're not going to see it because we've actually run out. Miss Mary Babin back there, she said that we actually ran out and we need to get a new order in. So that's good that those lessons are coming out from our congregation, but we need that there's no samples there. But what happens with the scanning is these are students who have completed that first lesson. The service center scans it in. We get a file over here. We can print it, grade it, and we have to ship it back, but we can ship it in one box to that service center, and they take care of the distribution. So it gets lessons back faster to the U.S., and it's more encouraging for teachers, because that's one thing we've heard over time, is that, well, I send all this stuff out, but I don't ever really hear much back, or I'll send out 100, and I only get maybe 5 back. And that's, again, we're sowing the seed. We're being persistent in sharing the gospel. But what happens is, with the scanning, is we say we want 200 names a month, boom, we'll get 200 lessons a month. So it's a way to participate in sharing the gospel around the world. So this is kind of that global focus. But what I've also learned is that when we're sharing the gospel, and even though we're studying with somebody in Africa, the more we share the gospel, the more we see people responding, the more it gets excited and gets us used to teaching it, and then we're more easy to share with those around us, right here in our own neighborhood. So when we think about, oh, that's somebody over there, well, that is somebody over there that needs the gospel. This is the way that they're going to learn the gospel, and it's only going to help you grow as a Christian. So online lessons, if you can go to worldbibleschool.net and you can register right there to be a teacher, and you can then just take postal students, you can take online students, and in a minute here we're going to see some screenshots of this. But if you wanted to get started even tonight, you could go there, get registered. Well, we have an approval process, so we check you out. We ask for a DNA sample. No, we don't. But we do have an approval process to make sure that all the teachers that are applying agree to certain principles. But you could apply tonight, and within the next day, you could be approved in teaching the gospel. So with the online lessons, I know it gets really small when we start coming up here and looking on the screen, but I took this screenshot just this afternoon, and right now we have a student board of 128 people. And actually, ironically, sometimes we see a lot of African countries up here. We see India. We'll see a lot of countries where we're running ads. But actually, the first two up here were actually from the United States. So 128 people who have registered and on the board that said, yeah, we want to study. And again, some of them won't continue, but you keep working at it. So you get to get information about them. And over here, we're going to kind of start stepping through some of these other things. But people are there. People are registering. We're investing in web ads to bring people in, and there's so much opportunity for you to be able to share the gospel with somebody, and it's online. It's online correspondence. It's instant. So you grade a lesson, you give them some feedback, they're on to the next ones, and they'll finish it up, and then you'll give them some feedback and start talking and discussing. And just one from this past week, one of them was, she feels like God is is against her or God hates her because she's sick. And I said, well, what's going on? Well, what are you sick with? Well, she says, I think I'm infected with HIV, which is a big problem in Africa. So it's a way that you can reach out to somebody who's lost and catch them. Or sometimes there's even members of the church that register, and it's encouraging them and building them up in their faith. So if we move on, you know, then we kind of move to, you know, that's the general board. But as we kind of go in here, we actually have a group. Let's go back. We have a group, the River Chase Church of Christ. There's several of us out there who are on there. Right now, there's only two on our board. But these are people who are coming into our congregation, and they're going to study with our congregation because we have different ways we have captured them. So that way, it's a way that we can really be getting people locally. As we kind of go to the next slide, we'll see that. So how do we do that? So we have this board out there. We have our group. And there's two ways we do it. And the first is right here. We have these cards. I keep hitting the forward button. So we have these cards that are sitting out at the table. They're at the WBS booth. We actually have them at our visitors booth. And if they go with that domain name right there, they're going to go to our website, and they'll register. And then they will only be within our group. So that way it's somebody local we've given it to and talked about. Just an example from this past week. I had a guy drive me from Christian Brothers' home, and so he drove me there and drove me back, so I got to talking about where he lived, what he did. And so I asked about where do you attend? If you live way down south of Clanton, so he has a long drive, I said, well, where do you attend church? Just kind of curious, because it's a very small area. Well, I'm not really going right now. We're kind of trying to figure that out. And I said, well, I go to the River Chase Church of Christ right across the street from where you work. But I tell you what, if you want to at least study with me, here's the website you go to, and I give them a card. And so I said, the best thing you can do is you're trying to search is to be in the Word of God. So it wasn't, and it's just simple like that. You know, it's just, hey, you get questions about things. Why don't you study with me? You're curious about the Bible, or you wonder why we do certain things, or you wonder why, what's this baptism thing we talk about? Why don't you come study the Bible with me? And you can simply give them that website and they can come study. The other thing we have going on here, I'm going to hit the right button this time, is we actually have these target areas set up around Birmingham that anybody who comes through worldbibleschool.org, so whether they've come through that domain name, whether they have come through our search campaigns, our Facebook campaigns, they've just landed on it randomly, they come in that area and they're going to come to our board. So it's a way we can target those that are coming in our area. And so we can either invite them here as we get deeper into study, or you can, oh yeah, they're kind of over closer to somebody I know at this congregation. Maybe it's Deerfoot. Maybe it's better if they can't really transport, you know, very well. And so maybe another congregation that's closer to them, but it's a way that we can get people. And the other thing we can do with this as well, we haven't done it yet. Some congregations is actually target mission points. So where we have English speaking missionaries or English speaking areas, we could target those, generate good leads for our missionaries. And when somebody's ready to have a personal Bible study or be baptized, we can say, oh yeah, we've got this contact for you right over here, wherever it might be. So as we go on, again, I said I was going fast, and these slides will be online with the lesson tonight. So the other one that we have going on is spoken. And so trying to capture the interest of the world to learn English. So there is World English Institute, and that literally teaches them English to be able to take an exam where they, if they want to become a citizen or if they want to have, they want to attend a college, there's a certain exam that they have to pass. So that literally teaches them English from the ground up. But then a lot of times when people learn English, they can't really speak it very well. And that's what the concept of spoken is it's having those people read scripture in their iPhone app. They get adopted by a coach, which could be one of us here. You listen to it, and then you give them feedback on their pronunciation on a few words. And then, of course, then you can then say a little bit of like why that scripture is meaningful to you or something that's special about it. And right here, one of the first ones we have, the first one that they actually read is, you know, John 1:1-5, about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Because a lot of people are coming from cultures that's either polytheistic or atheistic or Muslim, and it's just these concepts of a God that would come down to earth in flesh to because of his love for us, just completely changes their worldview. So this is an app. I had put it back here. Where, did it not go back? Oh, there it goes. So if you search on the App Store for Get Spoken, you actually have to search Get Spoken to be able to find it easily. You can have that there. And that's something that's available to start anytime. So, you know, it's start anytime. But again, to be a coach, you have to have an iPhone. We want everybody to register as a study helper at worldbibleschool.net. That way we make sure everybody's kind of in line with the doctrine. Send an email to help@spokenapp.org. And that way we know we'll add that user to that Spoken account. And then, of course, that email that comes will have all the instructions that you need to be able to get started. And so it's just simple as that. They're reading Scripture. You're giving them feedback. You're telling them why that Scripture is important and why it's so meaningful. And right there, you're sharing the gospel. So these are simple ways. You know, it doesn't have to be this elaborate, I have to have a Bible study with 100 people. It's just doing something, starting somewhere, and moving forward on teaching somebody, sharing the gospel with somebody in the world. So the next thing we've got coming up here is the study Bible. And this thing has been just really taken off in the churches of Christ. Because finally, a Bible we don't have to rip pages out to give away. There's so many times we've gotten these little Bibles in that like, okay, this is great, you know. But you have to go through and tear out the prayer of salvation. And you have to tear out all of this stuff that's like, okay, that's not what's actually in the Bible. It's ironic. You have a Bible, you have to tear stuff out because they're teaching stuff that actually goes against the very things that are in Scripture. So right there, you can see one of the screenshots is one of the studies that's back there is why must people be baptized? So it has a whole outline of lessons behind there. Material that you can use for your own study. You can use actually in a personal Bible study to guide your discussion, to guide the Scriptures you use, or to just simply give away. And so some examples we have of that in terms of these examples in local outreach. One church in Tennessee bought 2,000 of them for Bring Your Bible to School Day. So they got the school board to approve them just bringing the Bibles. They couldn't like give it to the students, but they could just sit a table in the school, not necessarily, you know, not forcing it on anybody, not having anybody demanding it there, but just a table there. And by the end of the day, they had several schools in the district they did those 2,000 to, and they were all given away. And one grandmother here sent this picture of her son who had taken that Bible home and was starting to read it there on the hood of their car. So it's just simple ways that we are getting the gospel. We're getting these elements of truth out to the world. And backpacks for the homeless here at the River Chase Church. Right here, we had those Bibles that we actually right out there. We had that card, studythebiblewith.me. And there was around 200-ish backpacks that went to Jesse's place. And so every single one of them had that Bible. As you look through the Bible, you'll see the various lessons and studies. Somebody can literally pick that Bible up, learn about Jesus, learn about the gospel, obey the gospel, and establish a church. Because it has a guide to New Testament Christianity at the end of it as well to help them, what is this church thing? And so literally they can take that and establish a church wherever they might be. So it's a very powerful tool we have in sharing the gospel. And then one of the last tools here I'm going to share with you is called Methetis. Now, that gets a lot of funny responses because you're probably thinking, how do you pronounce that? So, yeah, we get Methetis, Matthias. I mean, we get a whole bunch of stuff. But it's Greek for discipleship. Am I right, Dwayne? Where did he go? All right, okay. I'll have Dwayne check me there. But it's Greek for disciples. So this is our new social media platform for discipleship. And the difference between the core lessons of World Bible School and this is a didactic, which our traditional lessons are. So the online lessons we have, it's what's called didactic style of teaching, just like you are in school. Here's information, we're going to give it to you, and you got to repeat it back on a test. Here's information we're going to give you, repeat it back in the test. And what we do is with Methetis is we turn it into more of a discussion. So we have videos that will lead people through the topic for each lesson, for all the courses we're creating for it. So right here, there's all of these questions that come after it. And it's not a one-on-one where a teacher and a student. What it is you can form a group. And you can form a group of three friends, or we're also going to have community groups where you can have up to 30 people. So you think about a way that you'd want to share the gospel with some friends at school, maybe coworkers. You know, people have Bible studies going on all the time. You can form a group. And you can have Bible studies and going through lessons together, discussing it, but all on a very social media type platform that's engaging. We're going to have a phone app. We'll have a website. And that way, it's an easy way that you can engage people with the gospel in an environment that they're used to. And that's we're targeting that towards, you know, our younger generations, the people who have questions. They want to ask, well, you know, why do I do this and why do we do that? And what do I think about this? You know, so a lot of those questions are very action-oriented and discussion-based. And so the idea is on the curriculum is that we have a whole column of lessons we're creating for the unregenerate or people who are not Christians. So again, it's geared towards somebody who maybe has some awareness of the Bible, but and people here that you can learn more. And then over here, there's going to be topics for people who might already be in church or people who have things. But everything, whether they come in here and they get led to the gospel, or they come in here, maybe you have friends in the Baptist church, you have friends at a Presbyterian church. So they come in on some of these other topics, and you're leading them through a presentation of the gospel wherever they are. And that's what we're ultimately trying to get to, is a presentation in obedience to the gospel. So as I said, this is something different. And so along with this, each lesson we have created videos, different styles. But what we do is we have created a video to introduce the lesson, to bring up the scripture, to get people to think. And then they're led through those questions that then is a group discussion going back and forth. So right now I'm going to play this video. It's the first one that we created. We're planning to have 20 of them by the end of September, and that's when our official launch is. But we'll also have a kind of a soft launch that I'll give you all sneak peek access to. You'll be invited. Actually, here towards the end of January, beginning of February, have a soft launch to start getting feedback on everything that's being created. So with that, I will sit down while this video plays.
The world we live in is truly amazing. This creation can be both awe-inspiring and terrifying at the same time. So when we hear the word creation, does that not imply a creator? If true, is it probable that a creator would give proof of himself in what was created? Take these two people talking over a cup of coffee. One states, if there was really a God, why doesn't he just write his name on the stars or on the earth itself? This is an interesting question. But what if God gives intriguing clues about his being, especially for those who look for him? What if his fingerprint can be seen throughout creation? Remember in school when they taught about photosynthesis? The unique way plants have the ability to receive light from the sun to combine with other elements in order to produce food for itself. And plants are more complex, efficient, and productive than the most advanced factories on our planet. Not to mention more beautiful to look at as well. Is this an accident? Students in universities around the world learn that each subject, especially in the sciences, has countless subcategories and classifications which seem to never end, considering what one could learn. Very complex, yet still organized for one's study. Not enough to give someone a headache. Is it realistic to believe that from random chaos, all these wonderful, amazing, complex systems could exist? Does an explosion create a building? If such a thing did occur, it would be considered a miracle. Consider this passage. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. A thought to ponder. If we examine anything made by humans, whether it be a house, a watch, or various forms of art, do not these different items tell us something about the one who built them? Is it possible that the Creator is providing proof of who He is through such a complex ecosystem that we call Earth? In the Bible, one reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork." This handiwork is not simple by any means. The sun generates the right amount of light and heat for our planet. If the earth was a bit closer to the sun, we would all burn up. If it were a bit farther away, we would all freeze. Now, notice this. The sun and the moon while different sizes, are the perfect distance from the Earth, so they appear identical in size from our perspective. This is why the moon covers the sun exactly during a solar eclipse. Blind coincidence? Or is this another clue about intentional design? The natural world is so perfectly fine-tuned. Was it not made this way on purpose in order for life to exist on this planet? And yet, the most interesting and beloved part of creation is not the heavens or earth, but rather mankind. It seems evident that God put great thought in the way we were made. Would you agree? Certainly from the Bible's perspective, we were designed with great love and care. The psalmist writes, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." We are not a haphazard thought, but rather an intentional and vital part of this universe. Mankind is spread throughout the entire world, divided by culture and language, yet with common characteristics, which indicate a shared origin. Our creation, sun and moon, plants and animals, mankind itself, is truly amazing. And the proofs of this creation we have been blessed to be part of cry out that there is a God. Think about this scripture. "For what can be known about God is plain, because God has shown it to them. His invisible attributes or qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived or seen ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made."
No, but that is what we're going for with Methedis. It's changing, we know we have a different demographic. We have a different mindset, especially in a younger generation, in the Western mindset. So it's the videos that introduce that topic and then go through questions. So they're all going to be like that. Will be dramatic, some of them narrated, some of them actual drama with actors, but to really get people to thinking. And again, a way that you can share the gospel so easily. And it's very inviting. Hey, come out here to this website. We'll have this group. We can chat with each other. We can have a forum. We can discuss things. And it's all kind of, you can do it on your phones. You can do it on your computers. And it's just introducing them through these very nice videos, the gospel of Jesus. And it's such an easy way to do it. So the results, growing by going. And that's what we talked about at the very beginning. As we see that the only way we're going to grow as a church is if we are going. And so that's personally our own spiritual lives, our own walk with Jesus will only grow if we're sharing Jesus. And then the only way we can grow as a congregation is if we're sharing Jesus. So both ways that we grow. And the joy of seeing the lost souls united with Christ. And these are just three pictures. I actually picked things from our, things that happened in some of our U.S. campaigns and things around the country. But these are just three pictures out of the hundreds that we've had baptism stories. And a lot of them we can't get pictures of, or there's even so much that sometimes happens that, we don't even get the updates for, or we get the updates years later and that person became a Christian and then their whole family. And then they had their whole community has become Christians. And we find that out years and years later. Because we know that God is working, even though we can't see it or understand it. But we have to be sharing. We have to be sowing the seed. So we get to see the results of God's kingdom growing. But yes, however, we must be constantly sowing the seed. We cannot give up. We cannot be discouraged. So you sharing Jesus, are you ready? Are you ready as a Christian to share Jesus with those around you? And if you're not a Christian, if you have not put on Christ in baptism, you're missing out on the best opportunity of your entire life to be in Christ, to have your sins washed away. He died for you. He rose from the grave to give you power over the death. And all you have to do is believe and have an obedient faith and put him on in baptism. And then you can be a part of sharing that joy that comes from being in Christ. So that's my prayer for our congregation, is that everyone in here will begin to share Jesus in any way that they can. And so if you have any needs, if you want to respond to the gospel and put on Christ's baptism tonight, if you have any other needs that we can pray, that the elders or the members of the church can pray for you, we are all here ready for you as together we stand and as we sing.